you know, just brought me to that verse, you know, no greater love than this, than one should lay down his life for his friends. You know, just the fact that these men and women have served us and laid down their life for us. It's such a picture of the gospel, one, of what Jesus did for us, and is certainly Christ-like. But it's just, you know, when you reflect on that and the fact that we have the freedoms that we have the life that we have in this country, you know, one of the best countries in the world, because of the freedoms that we have and the rights that we have, and that those were not free, you know, those were paid for. You know, that's something definitely to be grateful for, and, you know, we're receiving from that, you know, even with our freedoms, but look, even today with the day we get to celebrate, you know, but let it not just be about, you know, summer and food and all that stuff. Let it be about, you know, remembrance. So, amen. So thank God. So thank you. Any veterans here? Thank you so much. You know, thank you so much. God bless you. So yeah. But welcome again. Any visitors here? Welcome. My name is Matt. I am a member of the church. I lead the young adults too, and I'm glad to be up here, get my opportunity to, you know, speak and preach God's word. So I'm excited for it, and I hope you guys are excited for the picnic after too, right? I mean, so all right, honest, raise your hands, who showed up for the food? Linda. Okay, honesty's the best, you know, we're in God's house. But so you're hungry for food. All right, we'll put that off for a second. So I want to ask a question, though. How many of you are hungry for wisdom today? How many of you are hungering for the knowledge of God and the knowledge of, you know, who God is and what he's doing in this world and what he loves and what he hates and, you know, what he's requiring of us? Is anybody hungry for that? And well, we're gonna look and see, because I think, you know, we certainly all ebb and wane with that, you know, where we're hungry one day and then the next day we're like, this Netflix is tasting pretty good right now, so, you know. But you know, the question we got to ask ourselves is, are we hungering for after wisdom? Are we hungering after the things of God? Because the result of hungering after the things of God is true satisfaction. Nothing in this world will satisfy. We can go chase after anything and everything in this world to try to be filled up, and it's not going to fill us. It's going to leave us feeling more empty than actually we were before we chased after it. And that's even the good things in this world, right? Like things such as family, things such as a great career, things such as, you know, anything in this world, honestly. If we're looking to those where we should be looking to God, we're going to miss it. Let's just pray, and then we'll get into it. We'll do a little check-in. I'm going to try to simplify it, because I know sometimes, you know, the wisdom gets a little heavy, but we'll pray God makes it easy to us today, to understand it. And it is really simple, honestly. It's a lot simpler than we make it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. And thank you for that you revealed yourself to us through your holy scriptures, Lord, through Israel and through, people like Solomon, Lord, people who have written down who you are, Lord, and what you love and what you hate and your character, Lord. And thank you that you reveal that to men, Lord, you know, that we are able to understand and know you, God, our creator. In a way deeper than just, you know, the creation reveals, Lord, deeper than just when we look out at the sky and, you know, we know you created this and you're amazing, you're marvelous, but Lord, you're specific, Lord. You give us the smallest little insights of wisdom and knowledge and understanding to be able to follow your way, Lord. So I just pray that you open that to us this day, Lord. I pray that you open that to us right now as we open your word. And just ask that your Holy Spirit would just have your way, Holy Spirit, Lord, and just be glorified, Lord, be magnified, Lord, you know. And we pray this in Jesus' name, Amen. So, if you want, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 2. A little background: the book of Proverbs, as it says in the introduction of chapter 1, was written by Solomon, King Solomon. the son of King David, right? Reputedly the wisest man in the world, right? Reputed. Well, that's before Christ, obviously. But why was that? Because Solomon, God appeared to Solomon and he said, I will give you anything you want. And what did he ask for?
Wisdom.
He asked for wisdom. He asked for discernment, that he can be able to discern and judge between this people who God had given him to rule, because he was the one who received the kingdom after David. And so he asked for wisdom. And, you know, what is wisdom? Well, Webster's dictionary defines wisdom as knowledge and the capacity to make use of it. So, right, we could know something. How many of us know stuff, but how many of us don't actually put into practice what we know? Right? We do it all the time. Wisdom is the capacity to use that knowledge. It's very practical. And so the fact that Solomon asked for wisdom and God was pleased with that, he actually ended up getting everything else that you could ask for. He ended up, you know, wealth. And you'll see this in the Proverbs, probably many we go through today, that what does wisdom bring? It brings health. It brings health, wealth. You know, wise actions, good results, end results, right? That's the way of wisdom. But wisdom is first. You know, if we go after those other things and we leave behind wisdom and ultimately godly wisdom, it's not going to satisfy. We know the story of Solomon. Even with Solomon, Solomon had the wisdom. God granted it to him. And then a lot of the time, what did he do? He didn't use it. So anyways, wisdom is awesome. I've been one to, you know, I kind of like Proverbs maybe a little more than some other things. It's one of those things that's always attracted me, you know, wisdom. And we want to know wisdom and things, the things of God. But not only that, just, you know, being a wise person, right? That's an esteemed thing in this world, right? You want to be wise. You want to be someone who knows what they're doing, contrasted with being a fool, right? A foolish person is one who does whatever. we often find ourselves in that position as well. But, right, we would want to be wise. So, question number one. Let's start with A on your outline. Self-assessment. Are you hungering after wisdom? The first question is, do you receive the Father's word? Chapter 2, it starts out by saying, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee. Well, we'll stop there. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Oh, I'll finish. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So the first step one must do in hungering after wisdom, if you're hungering after wisdom, is receiving the Father's word, right? We understand that and we're going to get there in a second, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the one true God, Yahweh, right? That's the beginning of wisdom. Any other wisdom in this world, things that people say is wisdom, is not wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is understanding that God, the true God, is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he's the true God, and fearing him and believing in him. That is the beginning of all wisdom. And believing that his word, the revelation of God, is what we must submit ourselves to and receive, right? So I would say, if I did this is an outside check, you all walked into church today, right? To do what? To hear and give worship and hear the word of God, receive the word of God. So I'd say you all are pretty wise. You know, you're wise for being here. It's sad how many people are so prideful that they won't enter into that door. You know, they won't listen themselves to the word of God. Solomon's writing and says, he's trying to teach his son wisdom, and he says, if thou will receive my words, right? James 1:21 says this. It says, wherefore lay apart filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. There's no other word that's going to save, right? There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved besides the name of Jesus Christ. and besides the words of this book. There's no other book like it. There's no, you know, I was talking with someone yesterday, and, you know, basically the premise of what they're saying is they all, you know, all the books are the same, and some religions teach that. We disagree greatly, you know, and if you're a logical person, you kind of have to disagree because they all say different things, and two things can't be the same, right? You know, Jesus can't be not God and God at the same time, you know, so there goes, knocks off 99% of all the other religions. Jesus is God, you know, and that's what the scriptures clearly declare. And so, again, have you received that? That's my first stop. Have you received that? Have you received Jesus as Lord? Have you received the Bible as true, right? That this is God's word. Have you submitted yourself to it and said, okay, God, whatever your word says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk in it, right? That is the first step of wisdom. That is the first step of being a wise person. Why is that? Because we're sinners. One day we're going to face a judgment. One day we're going to have to show up before God, and he's going to measure us by what? He's going to measure us by these scriptures. He's going to measure us by his standards. So the truly wise person will receive the sacrifice that Jesus offered for him in the cross. If you haven't done that yet, you want to be wise in this life and into eternity, I recommend you do that right now. Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from your sins and walk in that way. Once you've done that, you can check that off. Now, practically, do we receive the word as Christians? Now let's go to Christians. Do we receive the word daily? Are you opening your scriptures daily? Are you receiving his words to speak into your life daily? Because that's how he feeds us. That's how he strengthens us. That's how he teaches us, right? By the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and by the word when we read it. So receive his words. Receive our Father's words, right? When we're born again, God becomes our Father. He wants to speak to you, you know? Prayer, we speak to God and he speaks back. But his word, he's speaking directly to you. You know, I've heard it said that this book is a love letter directly to you. He wants you to know it. He wants you to understand it, you know? And it's true. Not everything in this book is easily comprehended. That's true. But if you seek it and you know that it's God's written to you and you have the desire to receive it, he's going to teach you. He's going to help you to understand. And I would say every single day for us as Christians, with the world and everything going on in the world and our trials, and this is where we're going to stand. This is where we're going to have our roots. So that's the first step. Let's move on to the next. Do you regard wisdom as better than anything else? So not only should we receive the word, all right, right? Let's say, okay, well, I read the Bible, but other things in life are equal plane. You know, God, that's an aspect of my life. You know, that's a spoke. You know, it's a spoke in the wheel. I give him my Sundays. I go receive the word on Sundays, and then I live my life, you know. No. So verse 1, the second half, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. That word hide in verse one is actually a word that means store up or treasure. Treasure up. Store it. I'm trying to think of an example. Well, a lot of people are about storing food for a coming, let's say this grocery store is all shut down, which we actually did kind of experience with COVID, but having food stored up, right? They used to do it in olden days where you store up in storehouses and you have your sustenance ready. That's what they did, right? In granaries, they would store up everything. And also, especially, they would store up treasure, right? You find treasure, you want to hide it. You want to make sure it's protected. You want to make sure it's secure. You're going to check on it every day, you know? For us, this is our treasure. This is our word. God's wisdom is better than anything else. Jesus uses a similar example where he says in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves neither break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So Jesus is speaking prospectively to the good works we do in this life as Christians. We are going to get rewarded. God is fair. He's just. He's going to reward every good work that anyone does, you're gonna get. Don't worry, you'll reward a reward. You'll receive a reward for it in heaven. Now, of course, those who are outside of Christ and they think they're doing good works and they think they're gonna receive, no, you're not gonna get any reward for it, because no good work we can do can earn us a place in heaven. That reward is a gift. It's not a reward. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. But for us as believers, we are going to receive a reward, and that's why Jesus counsels us. Don't focus on the things here. Don't make your treasure here. Put your treasure in heaven there. But we do have a treasure here. Our treasure here is the Word. Our treasure here is wisdom. Our treasure here is our relationship with God. And if we're valuing our relationship with God more than anything else, that is how a prosperous life happens. That is how God wants us to have the abundant life, right? That's it. The abundant life is a life where you regard wisdom and the knowledge of God as better than anything else. In verse 2, it says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. So, and those verses, those verbs, incline your ear to wisdom. That verb is actually, in Hebrew, it's the hiphostem, which means to causative, right? Cause your ear to hear. Very, you know, that's not a passive thing, right? And understanding God is not a passive thing, right? If you're in church right now, I've been there. It's easy to go into autopilot right now. It's easy. It's easy to check out. It's easy. And even in our days, even when we read our scriptures, it's easy. We've got so much stuff on our mind. But if you hunger, if I was telling you how to get $1 million right now, or how to, you know, where to go, and you would be like, oh, I don't care. I feel tired. I'm going to listen. I'm going to focus my attention. I'm going to hear what he's saying, right? Cause it to hear. Cause it to understand. Force yourself. We should do this all the time with God's word. And that's why we should be reading scriptures every day, because we are honestly mining for gold here. You're getting treasures. The more you know the scriptures, the more you know God's word, the more you're growing in wisdom, the more you're growing in knowledge, the more your faith is growing, right? We know faith comes by hearing the word of God. We should put yourself to it, you know, with all your might, with all your heart. Anyway, that's the next point. Proverbs 16:16, it says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than chosen silver? Proverbs 3:13-18, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life that to them that lay hold on her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Principally, right, we know that wisdom tends to that abundant life. We know that. Now, we understand that God's ways are higher as well. We know that even the wise, sometimes bad things befall them. And ultimately, right, ultimately these verses will prove true where? In heaven. Right? We know we're going to get what God promises. God's word never fails, you know? But as far as your earthly life goes, it's not going to get better than when you're living by this book. Honestly, it's not going to get any better. We've lived it. You can taste and see, right? You taste and see when you're living for God, and taste and see when you're not. And it's definitely a bitter life when you're not. You know, and I've experienced that, you know? Too long. 21 years of experiencing that. And then when I got saved, I tasted the better way, and I never looked back. By the grace of God. And I don't want to, and I pray I never will. And I pray none of you ever will from today. Today's the day. Turn your heart to him. Never look back. Just keep going after it. It's honestly the best way. The third question I might ask is, do you readily seek wisdom with all your might? And we were basically talking about that already, but you know, if you know God's word and God's ways are the best thing for you, then the best thing for you to do would be to prioritize them and seek them with all your heart and go after them. And you know, like you said, if you have a, you have, you know, we have a nice weekend where we could do some fun stuff, or you can be serving God and getting God's word, which one's the priority? You know, and of course, there's always grace, but which one's the priority? You know, God, your service to God and what God's doing in your life, that's the priority, because that's where true fruit is going to be born in your life. That's where your character is going to be developed. That's when you're going to get the best rewards, right? You know, money's great, you know, but it's not as good as the rewards that God gives. God makes your life full, you know. He gives you wholeness. Again, we'll go back to Solomon's counsel in Proverbs 4. He says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall keep thine head, an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she shall deliver to thee." Those are some promises, guys. Those are, I mean, for me, I want that. I want everything he's saying, I want that. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that, whatever I have to sacrifice, whatever things I have to put to the side, you know, whatever relationships may be taking me aside from that. Those have to come second. And God has to come first, because I want to embody what he's trying to give me in wisdom, what he's trying to give me in knowledge, what he's trying to give me in knowing him, and that's where we'll go next. So again, we've looked at those questions. Do you receive the Father's word ultimately in salvation? And then for Christians, do we receive it every day? Do you regard wisdom as better than anything else? And do you readily, are you seeking with all your heart wisdom and all your might? So we individually, we all know where we're at with these things, right? Only you can tell. Don't look at your neighbor and say, "Pastor, you don't look like you're seeking too much wisdom lately." But we all know, you know, how where individually where we are. So regardless of where you are today, today's the day to turn back. Today's the day to say, "God, I want to know you. Like, I don't really know you how I should know you. I don't really know your word how I should know your word. I want to know it better." Today's the day. It's open. There's nothing keeping you from it. All you have to do is apply your heart to knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And ultimately, what happens? Let's go to the point B. The actual result of hungering after wisdom. The actual result is that you will understand and know God, right? People in the world say, "How can you know God? I don't see him. He's not here." God has revealed himself, right? Just like he revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, just like he revealed himself through the law to the Old Testament. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. We can, and when we humble ourselves and when we seek him, we can know him, right? Jesus says it, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When we seek him with all our heart, we're going to know God. We're going to understand him. We're going to know his ways. So the actual result is that you'll understand and know God. I'm just going to rattle these off because we're wrapping up or getting close to. So I'm going to rattle these off. Proverbs 1:7, let me read it actually. Back in chapter 2, it says, "Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee." Stop there for a second. So when we actually apply ourselves to wisdom, actually apply ourselves to knowledge, actually seek after God with all our heart, we're going to know him. The fear of God is ultimately the beginning of all wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And in Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding."
Why is that? Why is the fear of God the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom? Why? Why are wise people those who humble themselves before Almighty God and try to follow his ways? Well, I found a quote. It says that, like in Proverbs 19 declares, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning or foundation of wisdom. In other words, reverence for Yahweh produces wise behavior, and irreverence for Yahweh produces foolish conduct. The choice of respect or disrespect for God determines the outcome of human existence. Because if we fear God, we're going to act wise. We're going to act holy. We're going to seek to live in his ways and not seek to go our own ways. You see, God's standard is righteousness, right? God's standard is holiness. God's standard is good equity, right? Which means proper judgment, judging others correctly, living for things which are right. So again, when you seek after wisdom and you seek after God with all your heart and you seek after the fear of the Lord, you're going to understand who he is, what his character is. That's what the word does. It reveals his character and it reveals that he is holy and that we are not. And so we have to change, right? And become holy as he's holy. Also, he promises that he's going, if you seek him, he's going to give it to you. It's not something that, you know, the mystery religions of this world, they say, oh, you have to, you know, do this, like hold your foot up and, you know, go behind a back office or a back room and we'll tell you the secrets. No, it's, you know, this is no secret society stuff. This is plain. It's simple. There is a verse, I'm jumping all over the place, but you don't have to get it up, Ariana. It's James, in James, because there's much that people say in this world is wisdom that's not wisdom. In James, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Another verse, just before that in James, it says, James 3:13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness, humbleness, humility. I mean, you want to know wisdom? And ultimately, I'm going to wrap up because we're getting close to the finish. But ultimately, right, you will possess knowledge and understanding from God when he asks. And there's many other verses that say those, right, in James as well. If you ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. In this verse, in Proverbs 2, it said in verse 7, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He lays it up for you, and he's a buckler for you. He's going to give it to you, and he's going to not only give it to you, but he's going to use it to protect you and guide you and strengthen you in your life. That's what the word does for us. It's on the path of life, it keeps us. So ultimately, you want to know wisdom? Look to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the epitome of wisdom and knowledge. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, in Paul's prayer for the Colossian church, he says this. He prays that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid. So if you want to know God and you want to know the ways of God and you want to know the fear of God, look to Jesus Christ because he embodied it completely. And not only completely, but he embodied it in our place. The life that we can't live in perfect holiness and perfect righteousness, he lived in accordance with God's standards. He lived it. And then he died the worst death that we deserve. So again, point B. If you ask and if you seek and if you are hungry for God's wisdom and God's knowledge, he'll give it to you and you will possess it. And then point C on the outline to finish up. If he gives you the knowledge and wisdom, God will keep you by it, right? You will possess the wisdom from God and then God will keep you by that wisdom. He's going to use the wisdom he gives you to guide you along the path of life and guide you in right paths. And we weren't able to get there today, but it talks about how he's going to keep you from wicked temptations. He's going to keep you from wicked trails, from the wicked man, right? The wicked, again, how do we know what is foolish and wicked versus what is righteous and in line with wisdom? We know that by God's standards and God's characters and God's word. The more you know God's word, the more you're going to be able to keep yourself from the people that are not of God's word. And of course, we've got to go out and we've got to reach them, right? But we've got to be the light. If we're not the light and we're not abiding in God's ways, we're never going to be able to reach them. So just to finish, I just pray that this word will just be an encouragement to get back to wisdom, get back to the fear of the Lord. You know, if you're dealing with stuff in your life, you're dealing with sin issues, go to God's word. You know, one of my favorite treasures from God's word is 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We can go to that all day long when we fall into sin. I was talking to a buddy of mine, actually, who's struggling right now, and he knew that verse, and he said, you know, if we confess our sins and we mean it in our heart. The Bible doesn't say that. The word doesn't say that. It does, because then we would trick ourselves out of, and we'd be like, I don't mean it in my heart, but I'm, no. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. That's it. If you confess to God and you're sorry and you want to turn, he's going to forgive you. He's merciful. He's kind. So again, there's so many jewels of wisdom and knowledge of God for in God's word. Just get back to it. And treasure it more than anything else in your life, because honestly, it's what's going to last you for the rest of your life. Everything else is movable. Everything else can come and go, but God's word will last forever. Amen. So that's it. So that's the message, and praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. And I do want to ask, if there is anybody here that has not received wisdom ultimately in the person of Jesus Christ, if you wanted to raise your hand and you wanted to pray, talk to one of us, talk to a pastor, talk to myself, talk to Lewis. You know, today's the day of salvation. So, amen.